Let us turn together, dear saints, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. In keeping with the weekend that we have certainly very gratefully appreciated from the hand of the Lord, and particularly the chosen Bible readings that we have been considering, our minds, particularly in the latter part of this chapter 8 of Romans, our minds are directed to divine purposes for us relative to the Lord Jesus. I want to try and notice with you in a very limited way, of course, but I want to notice how in the Old Testament, God gave to his people four kinds of bread to eat. And each one of them are going to focus typically for us upon the person of the Lord Jesus. He wants us to feed on him. Because in each of the breads that God is going to give to his people, God is receiving something from the people as they feed upon the bread which he gives to them. So I hope that it will help us just in the opening of the meeting here this afternoon. And God will very graciously give particularly to each one of us just a little bread to take home. I often say that to myself and to the Lord when I'm thinking of being in a ministry meeting. Lord, just give me a little bread, something I can take home and feed on tomorrow. And I hope that it will be the case, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the bread of God, will be precious to our hearts. We'll read, please, in verse 17 of Exodus chapter 12. Pardon me, verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel, totally out of fellowship with divine purposes for his people. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Now look, please, in chapter 16. Chapter 16 of Exodus, and we will look, please, at verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Look down now, please, to verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up, covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, or what is it? For they wist not what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." Now turn, please, to the book of Leviticus, and we'll turn to the second chapter. Let us read from verse 1. "And when any will offer a meal offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon, and he shall bring it to Aaron's sons the priest, and he shall take thereout his handful of the fire of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire." Now our final reading, please, is in chapter 29 of the book of Exodus. Concerning the consecration of the priest, we will read it, verse 1. "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock, and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil. Of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe and the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a personal statute, perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock, and thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock, and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that's above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that's upon them, and burn them upon the altar." Just notice down, please, towards the end of this little section, at verse 19. "Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram, and thou shalt slay the ram. Thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar." Verse 24 reads, "And thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron, and in the hands of his sons, and shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord." Now verse 31. "And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration, seethe all his flesh in the holy place, and Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." May the Lord very graciously bless our reading of his word and help us to glean a little something just to take home with us. First of all, let me notice with you the different circumstances that God's people were found in which God gave them bread to eat. In our first reading in chapter 12 of the book of Exodus, you could also read again in Leviticus 23 and find a little more detail concerning this passage of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But this has to do with bread that's associated with the Passover and the Feast of First Fruits. Now, for you younger brethren and sisters in studying your Bible, it is very, very interesting, and it will be instructive for you to look back to the seven feasts of Jehovah, seven festivals in the year of Israel's activities, and God is going to receive from them the attitude of praise and worship. He's going to gather them together. And very, very interestingly, you will find that the three different occasions when God required all of the males in Israel to come up to Jerusalem for three of those festivals, he had something in mind that they had no idea would be performed. And one of them, of course, as we know, is the Feast of Pentecost, which was the time of the formation and the birth of the church, which is the body of Christ. Excuse me. But God is going to have in this first one a people who have come into the good of the Passover, salvation. And of course, the sheaf of first fruits speaks of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus and the promise and security and guarantee of our resurrection also. And in connection with that, there is this 7-day festival in which they're eating unleavened bread. So in the experiences of our salvation and the security of the knowledge of our link with the Lord Jesus in eternal life, God has something for us to eat, something he wants to occupy us with about the Lord Jesus in this 7-day festival. In the second occasion, it's God's people following the path of obedience. He's going to lead them in the experiences of the wilderness to reveal his glory to them, what he can do with people that are willing to follow, even in the times of their failure, their infirmities, and their falling down, their disobedience. God never failed to be with them. And every day, here they are to feed upon bread from God. It's going to sustain them in the experiences of their testings, of their being proven, and God proving himself to them and to the nations around them through them. Feed on the manna. And then God is going to bring them, as we noticed in the third one, it has to do with priestly work. Believers occupied in priestly character of working. And what does that mean? God tells us in the beginning when he introduces the priesthood to Israel. This is what he says, that they will minister unto me. That is the primary occupation of priesthood, ministering unto God. Isn't that an amazing honor conferred upon us? Dear brethren, dear sisters, that's what we are doing when hymns are given out. Don't forget that, dear young brother, when you're giving out hymns, will you? Just a little aside. You're ministering to God. Give it first for his glory. Let his name be exalted in what you're doing. Not because you, and I don't say this nastily when I say it, but and I have nothing in mind other than the fact that just use it as an illustration. Don't do it just because you sing bass. That's a nice hymn for bass. No, you understand what I'm meaning? First, let our motives be God receive honor from this that we are offering unto him. Likewise, when we rise to pray, give it to God. Don't give a little sermon to his people. Just give it to God, priesthood. And God has food for priesthood. And it's the meal offering, as we find, and we'll look at a little in detail of that lovely passage, that beautiful bread. And then, as we come to the last one, we have men who are in priesthood, but it's their consecration. It's the time when they're going to visit for the first time an altar in their life. Mind you, it's going to be continuous with them. They're going to come back to that altar very, very often. But this is the first time that they're coming to this altar. And God says, now there's some bread put in your basket, and I want you to eat that bread along with your enjoyment of the lamb. So I hope that God will just graciously, while I cannot give to you the detail that I would like to, I'm not going to use time as an excuse for that. There's so much depth in that I don't know, and I'd love to get I hope that even by seeking to put it into your hand, I'll get a little for myself, just from the person of our Lord Jesus, in keeping with these experiences in our life. Let me notice with you the first one then. It's a very interesting thing that God mentions regarding the eating of unleavened bread. First, he says, I want you to go home and make sure that in your dwelling you don't have what would be a defilement to this time period of these 7 days. So start at home, says God, and put away leaven. Now, leaven is going to speak of evil. The Lord Jesus shows us that in the New Testament, and God shows us by character of its usefulness in bread that it is a very, it is what is going to permeate and going to grow and going to infect the whole thing. God says the very same thing happens even amongst God's people. It can happen in the assembly, he says. If sin is not put away, it will manifest itself and it will corrupt the fellowship and the testimony. But now, he says, I want you to start with a day of rest and then end with a day of rest. And for those 7 days, you're going to eat unleavened bread. Now, let me point out to you how it begins and ends. It begins with a day of rest linked with the Passover. That's the rest we found in the Lord Jesus in our salvation. And now he gives us a whole period, a whole week. That's a complete period. And it's rest again. Can I suggest that takes us to our rest that we shall have with the Lord Jesus in glory? And in between, I find a week that's sanctified, set apart from leaven, a whole week of it. And he says, you eat that bread for that week. That's a celebration to me. That's a wonderful thing, dear brethren and dear sisters, to get to see that in our life, as we are putting away the leaven, the characteristics of the old life, and the intrusions of the world, which our flesh, our Adamic nature, has an appetite for. But here I find that God is going to receive from me an honor of we honoring him by setting apart our life from that which is evil, unleavened bread. Now, you know how I'm going to find that in the Lord Jesus. That is so precious as we look in the person of our blessed Lord. He's the unleavened bread that we're to feed upon. For in him there is no sin. Yes, that is true. But how can I feed upon that in the person of our Lord Jesus? I'm going to suggest to you Matthew's gospel. Because in Matthew's gospel, we find that it both begins and ends with a baptism. And a baptism is that which is giving confession of our salvation from sin. And the Lord Jesus is linked with both of them. In the very first part of Matthew, he goes into the waters of baptism. Not that he had to be separate from sin, but he's giving the example, he says, and that's the right thing to do to fulfill the scriptures. And Matthew ends with him saying, and baptize them, teach them and baptize them. So there's a period, brethren, of our little life's experience. We feed on the person of our Lord Jesus in the sinlessness of his life, that which he kept away from, that which he spoke against, which was leaven. And we keep ourselves from those things. We can feed upon our Lord Jesus Christ and therefore feed upon unleavened bread. Now, I'm going to hasten because my wife says I have a bad habit, and she's not here to correct me, but boy, I don't want her to hear about it. So I will just keep myself as close as I can. I have about 12 minutes, and I wish to notice the other three. So just, if you will, look at Leviticus 23, read again in Exodus chapter 12, and see the emphasis that God puts upon it because of what he's going to receive from his people as they feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That ideal man, God's idea of a man, as we see him walking in the midst of corruption, undefilable. Blessed be his name. May we also feed upon him the unleavened bread. In chapter 16 of Exodus, we have the manna brought before us. And there are two or three things that are said about the manna that I would just like to bring to our attention, because as we know from John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus interprets this for us to show that he is the bread of God which came down from heaven. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, he says. But he speaks of himself as being, that's a type of him. He is the manna. Let me just suggest three things to you that should occupy us as we think upon the person of our Lord Jesus as the bread of God. Remember, it's the bread that's going to sustain people who are seeking to follow the guidance of their Lord. Yes, we do have failure. Indeed, we regret our failures. We know that we have missed out on much in our murmurings as we read about the people of Israel. But God is faithful to keep into our hand that which will sustain us. And we're looking at the person of our Lord Jesus as we look at the manna. I want you to notice, first of all, the mystery of its nature. Because God is going to emphasize, as we think of the manna and the person of the Lord Jesus, he wants us to be occupied with who he really is. First of all, we notice that it came from heaven. And of course, it speaks of our Lord Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. You know, dear young believer, that is cardinal to our faith. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The manner in which your world and my world mocks and blasphemes our blessed Lord. Things that are written about him. Evil things that we would not repeat to you. You know them. You've seen them in your newspaper. You've seen them in the news periodicals. Concerning our blessed Lord, God says, I want you to look at this manna that comes from heaven. Because the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus is an essential doctrine. Virgin birth. Not just birth. Virgin birth. It relates to the sinlessness of his humanity. It relates to the precious value of his trustworthiness. As the sinless one, he is the manna, mystery in its nature. As well, he points out relative to it concerning its appearance before them. Very small, very meager, I have called it. Just meagerness of appearance. And then again, we're looking at the Lord Jesus as we see him walking in the gospel according to Luke. He is so insignificant to men. But he's in a perfect relationship to our experience. That's Luke's gospel. He's a Gentile. He's writing about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And interestingly, he's presenting it to a Gentile. And here we are today. We have the manna. We have the Lord Jesus in Luke's gospel. How is he going to be presented to us? He's linked with widows. He's linked with showing the dependence in his prayers. And we see the Lord Jesus as he speaks of little ones and brings them into the focus of his work, even here on earth, children. And he speaks relative of himself in his parables. He talks about himself in his nobility. He speaks to the people about his tenderness. And he shows to us again of how he is one who cares like the Samaritan. That's his humanity. He says, you feed on that. That's what's going to sustain you when you come into times of testing. How did he act? How did the Lord Jesus respond? What did he teach to his dear disciples in those times? That's your manna. And as I feed upon the Lord Jesus in those experiences, I will be sustained. Let me point out to you and just leave with you three individuals in the Old Testament that ate manna every day for 40 years. They were the men that God used. Moses is one of them. And dear younger Christian, there's an example for you and I to emulate. We need to feed upon the Lord Jesus every day if we're going to be a teacher. If we're going to help to guide the flock as shepherds, and my dear older brethren who are our shepherds, let me encourage you to keep eating the manna. That's what sustained Moses for 40 years. Then I think of dear Joshua. He likewise ate of the manna 40 years, feeding upon the blessed person of your Savior and mine, looking at him as he moves through the experiences of life. Joshua, he who is likewise a shepherd and a teacher and a deacon in character, as serving with Moses, he's feeding on the manna. But there's another individual too, and his name is Caleb. Nothing great about Caleb, you say? Ah, brethren, there's much greatness about dear Caleb. No, he wasn't a leader of a tribe. He wasn't called a prince. No, he's not seen as he goes forth into battle like a Phinehas. No, but you know what God says about him? He wholly followed the Lord. You know what sustained him? Manna. Every day for 40 years. So in your experiences, God help us, dear brethren, to see we need to get a little something from the Lord Jesus each day of our experience as we look at the gospel according to Luke. In my third one, we have the meal offering for those who are priests serving. The meal offering is so beautiful. I'm going to just take out three little thoughts concerning the meal offering and leave them with you. First of all, I want you to notice that the meal offering was prepared by the priests. You will find that when you come particularly to Chronicles and look at the priesthood relative to the temple. They prepared the material that was given to them in their little chambers for the meal offerings. And you know, dear younger believer and dear older saint, we need to be able to handle the ingredients of this meal offering. Fine flour and oil and frankincense. Now they're all brought together here. What are we looking at? It's the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his person, as we look at the meal, actually it's an interesting word, that word fine flour. It can be related and interpreted in this fashion. It means that it was the very kernel in its beginning was so ground, never put through a sieve, because every ingredient that was in the kernel was in the flour. No change. All that our blessed Lord Jesus was in his person eternally, he ever was, even in his manhood. And see, you and I need to get a hold of those blessed truths. We need to see in the Lord Jesus as we move through Mark's gospel. You're going to see that expressed continually. And people are amazed at him. And yet in his tireless service, he's manifesting these beautiful features of who he always was. Fine flour. And then there's oil. That's a perfect association with the divine person of the Spirit of God, as we have it linked with the meal offering. And then the frankincense, something peculiar, something that's not really edible, not something for man's appreciation, but for God's. And you and I are to get to see that. Let me say to you, and just use the words of Joseph to his brothers, tell my father of all my glories in Egypt. Not in heaven, but in Egypt. How he manifested and how he is seen in the greatness of the majestic character of his person, nobility, as he moved amongst men. And then the priest, as he rises on Lord's Day morning, that young man, he has just a little handful. He's been feeding upon the Lord Jesus in his person. He's been looking at the fullness of the appreciation of the will of God seen in his life, perfect harmony with the purposes of the Spirit of God. And we see that which you have gathered of what God appreciated in his Son. Just a little handful. Don't try and bring a whole bucket. Just a handful. And that, God says, is a memorial of a sweet savor as it's laid upon that altar. That's what the Lord Jesus gave to his Father in the wonder of that work. But one other thing about the meal offering. Sometimes it was made into little cakes, little cupcakes. Sometimes into little pancakes. Sometimes like little soda crackers. And it had holes in it. And when it was baked, it was broken into little pieces. Very insignificant. Who wants to eat it? Priests. Priests. What are we looking at now? That beautiful meal offering which tells us of the Lord Jesus in the times of his testing. Testings at the hands of men. Testing at the hand of that wretched foe of Satan. Testing in times when he's confronted with matters he's tested. And the fire is applied, not now Calvary, but testings of his life. What did it do? It even made him more palatable for man to be able to appreciate than what they would see in him if he was never tested. So you see, dear brother and sister, what we are feeding on in the Lord Jesus. We see him in the times of his testings, and we see the expression of the excellencies of his virtues. We see those graces that manifest divine nature, yes, but sinless humanity, and the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ as he is glorifying God. That's what the priest is going to do. Just take a handful, put it on the altar, and the rest he takes home to eat himself. Feed upon Christ, dear younger believer, in his person, in the times of his trials, and think of him as he is led into the sadness of his times of testing. God says, that's the bread I want you priests to feed on. Now I cannot take time to look at the last one, only to mention to you that it's wheaten flour. Now this is not barley flour. Barley flour is spoken of in the scriptures as being the bread for the poor. And it's not oat flour. It's wheaten flour. And it's in the hand of the priest. What is he doing? He's coming to an altar with a lamb. He's bringing to God the first offering that he's ever going to give to him. You know, dear younger believer, God is looking for you and he's looking for me to come to that altar. What offering is he looking for? He's looking for the head of the lamb. What about your head? Will you sanctify your mind to make sure that you're not going to clutter it with the things that are evil, distracting, and defiling? Bring it to the altar. Give it to God. I do remember so significantly, all of you know that I had a brain operation many years ago. Some people don't think I have too much left, but he did leave some. I know that, thankfully. Not enough, though, because I find that learning is very hard. But let me point out to you very simply what I was going to say about that. It's hard to realize, even at a time when we are endeavoring and wanting and seeking to serve the Lord and to get to know him better, in coming to the situation that we're looking at here, I'm going to forget the illustration I was going to give you because I want to look at you taking this wheaten bread at the altar. The impression that God gave to me one day when I wanted to know, why did he bring me through that experience? What was the purpose, Lord? What can I glean from this? This is a verse that came to my mind. They first gave themselves to the Lord. All he wanted was me. Just give me yourself. Bring your head, brother. Bring your legs. Lay them on the altar. Bring your heart. That's at that point, he says, you feed on the wheaten bread. You know what they have called the wheaten bread in history? The bread of the noble. And when I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, he came to an altar. He put himself upon that altar for his God. Now he says, you feed on that bread. That's John. And as I look through John, I see the Lord Jesus and his Father. Perfect harmony. Every chapter but two. He's talking about his Father. God, bring us to the altar. Feed on the bread, dear brother. Take a little home with you. as we think of the unleavened bread, sanctified life feeding on Christ. Think of the manna, a path of following, feeding on the Lord to sustain you for the 40 years. And don't forget the meal offering. That's what will fill your mouth with fitting praise, and your hands as you minister unto God. And as you come to the altar, look at the Lord Jesus. Eat that wheaten bread. It's the bread of the noble one who went to the altar and laid himself in obedience to the will of God. May the Lord just give us a little touch of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, and all the exhortation we have heard, and all the divine purpose of his hand for our life. I hope we will feed on it for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus.